Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. I'm Debbie, and today I'm speaking with Robin Jelinek, who is a channel for a group consciousness known as Athena, Athena in Truth. Through Robin, Athena delivers profound messages to assist individuals in overcoming obstacles and aligning with their true purpose. Dare to Dream Radio won 3 Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Podcast. Welp Magazine named Dare to Dream one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and it's high ranking on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on any major podcast platform, as well as video platform like Spotify and YouTube and Rumble. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane here in Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world. If you'd like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes, go to drdanehere.com. It's H-E-E-R.com. You can unlock your cosmic potential with a phenomenal free Starseed video and report. My God, so many people are signing up for this right now. It makes me so happy you're getting this gift. This is an engaging exploration that investigates many starseed species in depth. You can learn your galactic origins, discover your star lineage, and ancestral celestial lineage right now. Just go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. Just spell my name correctly. It's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. Next, I was recently interviewed for a second time on Gaia TV on George Nori's show. If you would like to check that out, I've got a free gift for you. Grab your 1 week free subscription to Gaia TV so you can watch all the shows, all the interviews, but please do check out my interview with George from last year and this year. Incredibly amazing and different conversations. Here's your free week Gaia TV subscription. Go to debbiedashinger.com/Gaia. That's debbiedashinger.com/GAIA. And finally, I have been offering free shamanic full moon and new moon ceremonies. The next one is coming up. These are sacred and you are receiving moon medicine. You are releasing what no longer serves you, which is perfectly in line with this year. And you are instead bringing in what it is you prefer and really what you came here to do and be. So go ahead to my website, debbiedashinger.com, sign up so you'll get the notification for the next one, which is in about a week and a half. I can't wait to work with you. Now on to the guest for today, my guest, Robin Jelinek, who channels a group of spirits collectively known as Athena in Truth, as well as another spirit outside that group, Shiva. Robin experienced a Kundalini awakening years ago, which has greatly enhanced her ability to channel in a powerful manner. The Athena in Truth group she channels is dedicated to assisting people in living their best lives. Additionally, the spirit Shiva specializes in helping those who are well along their spiritual journey and are seeking higher dimensional wisdom and Kundalini activation. The Athena in Group group has channeled a number one best-selling book titled Choose Your Universe and Experience in Freedom, which is available on Amazon. Robin has been interviewed on Next Level Soul. They call us channelers and wisdom from North. If you would like to find out more about her, go to her website at athenaintruth.com. And with that, I welcome Robin to the Dare to Dream show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm happy to be here.
I was really curious when I was reading your bio. So it says you had a Kundalini awakening years ago, what that was like for you. I have heard from some people that there's a lot of shaking that goes on. Somewhat a loss of control, maybe of your body or knowing what you look like or what's happening, etc. I understand what happens in a Kundalini awakening, but I want to start with you, Robin, and find out what was it like for you? What was that experience?
The only way I can describe it is it was otherworldly. It was something that was so confirming to me on my spiritual path, and I really felt lucky to have that experience, because once you have something like that happen with all those bells and whistles, you never go back to doubting again. And I think that it's very common for people that are on a spiritual path, even though they are driven to pursue things. When you actually have an experience like that, it really leaves you changed because of it. And as you described, you don't really have full control of your body. You can't move. You can't speak. There's a lot of noise that sounds like thousands of hummingbirds, maybe like the top spinning that kids used to pull the little cord on, and that noise of a spinning sound. There's a lot of bodily sensations, a feeling of each center being punctured. There's a lot of heat, a feeling of lava that flows through in a good feeling way through the energy centers. So the whole experience, when it finally completed, and I'm not really sure how long it lasted. It's probably just a number of minutes, really. It just left me changed and stunned. And I would say for the next 25 years after that, I became very interested in studying and understanding more about that energy. And it's actually the work that I do now. I didn't realize that at the time, that that would be the direction that I was going. But having that experience, not only coming up from the base, but I had it 2 years later come down through the top of my head, which I had never really read about or heard that that was possible. I feel like I've experienced every angle of that energy, so I can really help anyone wherever they are on that spiritual path, to either assist them in getting the rise, or to deal with, say, a partial rise where maybe it's left a little bit of upheaval in their life. So I really feel like it's an area of expertise for me, and it's something that I really enjoy in my practice.
That's incredible. I have never had one, to the best of my knowledge. And I remember asking somebody because I went to an ashram for a while in Italy. It was an incredible experience. I was there for a couple of weeks. And every time the Swami would come out, sometimes he would just touch somebody here on the third eye, and this person would go back. I don't know how to describe it in graceful terms, but in a way, convulsing physically and clearly having an experience. Sometimes their back arched and so forth, their head went back. I saw it happen to mostly women, but occasionally to a man. And I would sit there and I loved the Swami so much and I loved his work, but it was kind of like he would touch me and nothing. And so what is that about? Why do some people have it? Why maybe do others not? And I'll just throw in there that somebody once mentioned to me, have you ever considered that maybe you had one and you didn't even realize it? That was interesting.
Well, what I understand about Kundalini energy, first of all, there would be a little bit of it already leaking in or active within you, just being in that spiritual pursuit. A lot of people, when you bring this up to them, this insatiable need to know more, to study more, to get in front of people that are talking about these topics, all those kinds of things. If you didn't have a stirring of that energy, you probably wouldn't even be drawn to that, and you wouldn't have any knowledge of Kundalini energy at all. So most of the people that I see in my practice are people who are well along on the spiritual path, and they understand a great deal about Kundalini energy. I think we have to remember that there are monks that have meditated their entire lives and not gotten a rise. There are people that walk out the front step and trip and maybe bump themselves and get a full-blown rise. So it's hard to tell where the aspirant is on the journey. The one thing I do know is that it only happens once in the evolution of your soul. So it's quite possible that one could have had an activation in a prior lifetime and then be working on that process in the life that they're in. When we release the seven energy centers, the ones that we're all aware of and that we see on the pictures, those are done through our desire and our intent and our will. That's how we actually ignite those centers and get them open. Once that energy opens, it starts to go inside the vessel, and those work independently on their own, activating over 120 energy centers that are inside the body that a lot of people don't have any awareness of. As those centers start to open, oftentimes a human will start to feel a lot of kriyas. So those are involuntary body movements, jerking. working, being thrown into yogic positions that they have no knowledge of, lots of mudras. This is something that happened to me in the beginning. So the energy is when it becomes active within the body, and that is spurred by the opening of the centers that we are aware of, the seven centers that most people are familiar with. That goes on for many, many years. I would say that it was over 25 years that I had that energy active within me before it actually reached the crown. So you would get an initial rise with all the bells and whistles, and you would know that something happened because it's quite loud and impressive when it happens. And it would go all the way up, and then you'd feel this flushing or lava sensation that feels very warm and good as it comes back down to the base of your spine. Sometimes there's a full body orgasm. There was with me in every energy center. It's just part of the process. That feeling or that sensation is connective to the universe. That's actually what that is. So there would be that rise, and a lot of people think, "Wow, I just had a Kundalini awakening, and I'm awake right now. Everything's done." But that's not really how it works. That's just the beginning. That actually just opens you up for this many-year process. The Kundalini energy is a revelation or a revealing of the unconscious. So every human, based upon the lives they've lived and the lineage that they've been a part of, has a storehouse of negativity or emotions that they have experienced that they hold unconsciously. The Kundalini blows those doors open. And so what happens is that energy starts to express. So you start to see yourself in a lot of ways that you don't like. You start to notice everything that you're doing that's not connective. And the first thing that a human does is move to judging and condemning themselves, which again is a very separating thing. And it's actually the cause of a dark night of the soul. If we would just accept that we've invited this experience to ourselves, to see ourselves and actually open ourselves to releasing that energy, and we would love what we see, and we would have compassion and understanding for the way that we felt in our life, we would very quickly move through that energy. But as we hang on to it, and as we judge it, and as we condemn it, we're always received in the way that we feel. So the universe just returns on that negativity, and a person finds themselves stuck in a loop for a while before they figure that out. I can't hear you right now, Debbie.
Forgive me, we had a plane flying
It's
over.
okay.
Yeah, I had goosebumps while you were saying that. That was so edifying for me. And thank you. I've never heard all of that expressed like that. There's just always been this word, Kundalini awakening, Kundalini rising. And I always feel like, some people are in the camp or you're not in the camp and you don't know how to get in the camp.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a few things. I absolutely have, I don't know what it is. It happens with my shoulders and my hands and my head. It only happens with certain people like yourself who are very gifted, and there's an energy that happens. I'm so grateful that so far, even if I've been in an event, nobody said anything to me. It's not big and grand. It's very, very light, but it happens, and it happens of its own volition. And the other thing is, you mentioned the mudras, and I have had my hands again in a situation like this, and it's an energy situation that is very high. The vibe is high, the frequency is high, and my hands will start to go. And I never knew, so I just let it happen. I didn't know if it was light language, I didn't know what was going on, but I thought, well, this is quite beautiful, and I'm in a group that would accept this, so I won't get in the way of it.
Absolutely. That is light language. That's what it is. And what stands between us and the connection to the divinity aspect of ourselves sometimes is, even me doing the work that I'm doing, I don't really like to look in my mirror when I'm channeling, or when the light language started. At first, I thought, I'm not delivering that. I'm crazy enough as crazy can get. The last thing I need to do is to go on the internet jibber jabbering that and giving a transmission afterwards. But you know what? I just said to my husband in the car when we were driving the other day, there is another you, and it's the you that insists. It's the you that somehow just makes you move forward in a direction that is your true self. And before you know it, I was speaking the light language in groups, and it wasn't bothering me. It just I acclimated to it. I certainly didn't intend on doing that as Robin, but I'm becoming more aware of that part of myself. I think a lot of people think that the bookcase is going to tip over, an eagle is going to fly through the room in connection to what they would call the divine part of themselves, but it's really very subtle. It's really just like what I told you, where that part that just encourages you to move forward in directions that sometimes as a human you probably wouldn't choose on your own.
Yeah. So beautiful, beautiful information, I think. I understand that this Athena in Truth group uses light language as a healing tool during sessions. And I know I've experienced it because I went to your YouTube channel. And as I was sharing with you earlier, whoa, when they started giving the transmission, I could really feel it. And it was even a gift for somebody else. So can you share how light language interacts with Kundalini energy and the chakras? How does that all occur? And maybe add in there what for advanced spiritual seekers, that's a lot of my audience. How might they notice differently when that modality is incorporated?
Everything's about frequency. So as your body starts to acclimate to higher frequencies, other siddhas or spiritual gifts just become accessible. It's not like you're a special person or a person that never feels negativity. That's just not true. You're a person that understands what it is to be human, and you're a little bit more compassionate and forgiving of yourself based upon what you choose to feel, because you understand that in free will you have the right to choose how you feel. That's what free will is. You get to pick the signal to send out to the divinity aspect of yourself, what you prefer in your experience, and you're known by that. Every emotion has a intricate frequency, so the universe is painted on your skin, and it knows in the moment that you feel something, what it is that you're feeling and what you prefer because of it, and then it quickly cultivates experiences and circumstances that will satisfy you in the way that you want to feel. So I think I veered a little bit from, oh, you wanted to know how is light language connected to Kundalini. Kundalini, as I told you, is a revealing process of really what's stuffing up your system. What are you holding? We all eat and eliminate, we drink and we eliminate, but we feel and we hold. And those emotions get held within the energy centers. And what they do is they actually slow down the field. So if you're carrying a lot of emotion, a lot of experiences start to come to match the emotion that you're holding. Not to punish you, not to make you suffer, to make you realize that I can't deliver to you what I have created that you're going to really like unless you let go of that energy. So I start getting experiences that match my anger, that match my rage, that match my controlling way of being. And then I inadvertently attach to that. I start to become the human. I start to hate myself being angry. I start to hate myself being controlling. And so that's not the love of self. The only requirement for flow is matching it. It's to love yourself in your free will choice of how you're picking and choosing to feel. And so when people get that news that, hey, every feeling is okay, there's nothing wrong with it, and it will move very quickly out of your field, provided you don't attach to it. And attachment means I, in some way, are condemning or judging or not liking the feel of what it is that I am sending out, and I become a little bit confused in how I'm creating. And so I would say that the energy centers are a representation of sending and receiving devices between you as a human and you as your divinity partner. Once you get those centers open, once you start to really love everything that's been stored in them that you have not loved, it's why it's stored in there. Once you start to release that energy, the flow just starts coming. So the wisdom, the knowledge, the things that you want to inquire about, the ways of being that you have wanted, that you have efforted in and not been able to obtain, there's just these really nice natural changes that just start coming over you. And it's not by you becoming any different. It's a gift from the divine. It comes through flow. So even the light language is a higher level of consciousness. And so as you expand your consciousness and you expand consciousness purely by love, purely by becoming a match to the unconditional love of your source. Every time you witness yourself in observation, you have invited the divine aspect of yourself into the equation. So it's dissipating negativity for you just by you being awake. When a human feels in unconsciousness, when they have no awareness that they are sending out a signal in negativity, they suffer in it. They start to think there's an outside cause. They start to think there's a circumstance or situation that's making them feel the way that they are. And immediately, what the universe does is it expands the negativity within them because it wants them to know that they are sovereign, individual, powerful gods that have taken form, and no one can create in your experience but you. So if you start to think something else is the reason for how you feel, you will immediately be bombarded by more experiences that you will suffer in. So suffering isn't necessary, it's a choice. But oftentimes we don't understand that we have that choice. So as you make the choice to love yourself in everything that you're feeling and know that it isn't easy to be a human and that there are a lot of different emotions that are pungent and difficult to feel, we have to be grateful to ourselves. We have to be accepting and self-honoring. And when we start to do that, we become a match to our source. And then the divinity energy starts to enter you. just by witnessing, just by observing. You're not doing anything, you're not changing, you're just observing yourself. And your consciousness starts to rise very gradually, just like becoming, say, a woman or a man. It's not overnight. It's this natural evolution, this gradual change that starts to come over you a little bit at a time. And then all of a sudden, you start to notice that certain circumstances and situations that used to really get you happen, and they don't get you. You go to reach for an emotion that you used to be readily using, and it's no longer there. So it's not there, no longer there, because you've disciplined yourself, or you've efforted yourself, or that you're now a better human. It's there because you've loved your human, and you have risen to a level of consciousness where you now have high level choices, high vibrational or frequency choices of emotions, and you start creating from happiness and joy from a much higher level. So light language would come in from a higher level of frequency. It's the next phase that's actually coming to the planet to bring telepathy. I used to think telepathy was an invasion of privacy. I thought, oh my God, everybody's going to know what I'm thinking. I don't know if I like the feel of that. That's not what it is. You're not going to be invaded. Your privacy is not going to be eliminated. But when you have an intention to communicate, it will come through light language, and there will be a knowingness. There will be a receiving of information without words. That's what happens to me when I speak light language. I don't have any idea what those words mean, nor have I ever been taught them. And so the human mind knows nothing. But the minute that the light language exchange happens, I immediately have a knowingness that just descends upon me like a pocket of information, if you will, same as channeling. It just flows right through my energy centers. I'm not special. I'm not ever negative. I'm not perfect by any means, but I have moved enough energy out of my field that I am allowing the flow of that information to access me, and everybody has that ability.
When you say, okay, that in the moment of doing this light language, you're not aware in your mind of what's being said and you get out of the way, but that at some point after surrendering, you have this knowing. What is the knowing? Is the knowing that you understand that large matrix of information, that you understand the feeling being conveyed, the exact words?
So they will give me a form of communication that could be for a group, or it could be for an individual, and it might even be something that we are personally exchanging. They might talk to them about their life experience, but they would do it in light language, and then I would know exactly what it is that they were saying to them. The light language itself, it is not so important that a person knows what is said, although they like it. It's nice to have that transmission, but the frequency of it is stimulating your energy centers and causing a release of negativity, because a high frequency of love comes through that transmission, and anything that you're holding of a lower tone gets dissipated or starts to move out of your field.
And when you're talking about these frequencies and these vibrations, so for anybody who might be experiencing what you call a dark night of the soul, in your experience channeling Athena, what guidance, what energetic support can be offered to those navigating these really intense periods?
Yeah, so we do the monthly activations. We take 20 or 25 people, and I also do individual activations, which are much more intensive if someone wants to go that route by themselves. We are now in the process of developing more of a mentorship program. So if someone is struggling with perhaps getting into a dark night of the soul, or not being able to move out of it, or they're seeing things in their experience that are not satisfying, we're creating now a mentorship where we'll come on 2 hours a month, and we're going to help those people through that process in live Q&A and in other practices. Some people don't realize that you can, too much of a good thing can be not a good thing. And what I mean by that is balance means everything. And spirituality isn't really more better, isn't more, I'm looking for the right word. It's not higher than or any better than any other human experience. And so when you start dumping all of your sand into that one bag, and you start to maybe ignore your human experience, that can bring on a period of suffering. You're meant here to be in union. You're meant here to make peace with what your human thinks and feels, and then invite that divinity aspect, that or that soul aspect, in alongside of you to actually help you express in your passion, or at a higher level, or a higher view of yourself. And that's what you're really looking to do. So when somebody's really suffering, one of the first things that gets recommended is a pullback, is a stopping of spiritual practice and reading and studying and talking about it. Because oftentimes in the beginning, people go way overboard. They get so entrenched in it that it's all they talk about and all they do. And they don't even realize, one of the unique things that I think is very interesting, is when the universe mirrors something to you about an emotion that you're you're holding. It uses something that's very valuable and important to you. It'll use your mate, it'll use your mother, it'll use your sister. And so you might have a negative experience with someone that really means something to you that you can't ignore. But another thing it likes to use is your spirituality, because a lot of people who are on a spiritual path will have something going on that's very negative in their life, and they'll never once think that maybe it might be connected. They might be showing it, maybe they're not getting the connection they want. How does it make them feel? Very dissatisfied, very feeling not good enough, not worthy. What's wrong with me? Why am I not getting what I want? So the universe will actually use your spiritual experience and withhold things from you that you're really wanting to get, to try to get you to release energy that's causing a problem or not aligning you to it, you see.
Yeah, whoa, that's really amazing. And I can feel them here. Can you? I
They're
can
kind of coming half
powerfully,
in and half out right now.
totally, I can very powerfully feel them here. Would it be okay to invite them in? And if so, can you tell us the process so we
Absolutely.
know how much silence and all of that?
Yeah.
And also, who
There's no
might be
process for me.
just like that?
Yeah. I would describe myself, I'm not aware. Robin withdraws her consciousness, but it's moment to moment. If I have my grandkids, I can say, hey, hang on a minute, and I can channel and I can go right back. There's no transition time for me, and I like it that way. It actually works very well in my life. There's no sitting or humming or adjustment period or anything like that. It's just a steady flow all the time. The only time that the group actually comes forward, they're thought provoked. So the moment I think, oh, we need you to come in now, or I'm thinking about a question, they will take that as an invitation. Any type of an ask is an invite.
Okay, that's so cool. Well, thank you so much. Everything you've given so far is really an abundance of great information. I'm looking forward to the channeling. And if it's not Athena in truth and somebody else shows up, Shiva or otherwise, you can let us know. Yeah, and I'm ready.
We are excited to move with you. Look at her. Yeah, boom, she's in just like that. She likes it this way. It is much easier for her in her life. What are we? We are what you would call the keepers at the gate. There are many entities that want to channel through one that has active kundalini, because when your kundalini becomes activated, you become a magnet or someone that is very attractive to draw numbers to you in order for a group to teach or to spread what it is that they have come to teach. Let's use that. Yeah. And so we have told Robin, because she said in the beginning to us, she felt the good feeling. She felt the balance feeling when we first entered her field. And she said, I never want to feel a negative energy ever. I don't want it. Yeah. And we said, well, then we will be ever present. We will be the keepers at your gate. And that is what we have done. There's no energy that will channel through her without coming through us, you see.
Wow, that's gorgeous. You know, Robin was just sharing about this dark night of the soul, and that our souls, let's say, will bring us a persistent situation to get our attention. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, about how someone navigating an intense period, how can they navigate it? And how can they find the truth of what's really happening and presenting themselves outside of the face value situation? How can they go deeper to understand what's really happening or what they're being called to? And then how can they align with a path to heal that situation?
We have a very easy remedy if people would apply it that would work very well. When you are awake, you feel good. When you are unconscious, you don't feel good. And so if a human would start to pay attention to when they feel good, and knowing that their divinity partner is now connected to them, and they are connected to flow, by the way. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if someone stimulates you, an outside person or circumstance occurs in your life, and you don't feel good, you are disconnected. You have created a separation. So let's talk about separation, because it's not like you're getting separated. You're separating yourself from your own creation. Let's use that term. So, for example, in every moment that you are thinking and feeling, the universe is painted on your skin. And then the universe that is your individual universe in the way that you would like to feel the world is being created by everything that you personally are feeling. And so if you want to use an outside cause, another person, a circumstance in your life, as the thing that is making you feel a certain way, then you are allowing something else to create in your experience. And you will actually expand the negativity and get more and more mirrors, as Robin was telling you, of the negativity that you are creating with. That's what would actually happen. And so it's really good for a human to understand that negativity is not a bad thing. Negativity is a call to heal. So every time you are in the present moment and you are feeling good and you are having conversation, we're in the present moment right now. You're right here. Yeah. If we were in a session with a client and we touched on a topic that perhaps was a wounding or a trauma, oftentimes they'll start to cry and we will say, come back here. Get back in the room. Yeah. And then as soon as we call them back, they stop crying and they are a little puzzled by that. We're not puzzled at all because when a human starts to suffer or feel negativity, they have left the present moment and they have gone to the moment on the timeline of their life of where that injury occurred. And they're getting an invitation to heal it. And how do you heal it? By moving what is unconscious to consciousness. Oh, I can see why you are feeling that way and why I'm getting the mirror that I'm getting. So now I become the observer. Or the conscious one, the awake one. And in that presence, I am the divine invited into that equation. And then I can flow some energy into the human and assist it in releasing the lower tone emotion that is holding. So it's all done through awakeness. It's all done through awareness. We tell a human to get out of bed every morning. And when your feet hit the floor, we want you to say, there's no outside cause for how I feel today, because there isn't. Everything that you are feeling is a choice. Everything that you are feeling is something that you personally have to send out and is creative in your experience. There is never an outside cause. The outside cause is representative of the inside hold, what you have inside of you, but there is never anything outside of you that is invading you or harming you or causing you to suffer. You would be the one that's doing that to yourself. So what is the feeling of separation? The feeling of separation is you are choosing right now as a human to feel an emotion that is a lower tone of the universe that you created for yourself by feeling it. And so the feeling in separation isn't the masses, it's your universe. What does your universe consist of? Every life that you've ever lived, everything. The universal part of you is adding unto itself the life that you're living, it's adding your thoughts, your feelings, and you are an ever expanding being. And then that ever expanding being is expanding the universe as a whole. And so, what am I doing when I feel negative? I'm getting a signal from the divinity partner. That choice in that thought is distancing me from you. I have things for you that I would like to flow to you, but you must become a match to me. And how you become a match? You start to wake up. You start to observe yourself in awakeness and in awareness instead of moving out of consciousness and creating from a place on your timeline. Perhaps you were 3 years old and you are now 50, and you will wonder why you are acting like a 3-year-old. It is because you have become a 3-year-old. You have actually moved your consciousness back in time, and you are getting an opportunity to heal that energy, you see.
Yes, absolutely. I see. When you speak of two realities, your current experience and a higher reality that's shaped by our focus and energy, for those who are already attuned to subtle energies, what kind of practices or mindsets help create the alignment with the higher reality?
Yeah, noticing how you feel. We could tell you, oh, stand in the corner, write it on a chalkboard, meditate, spin in circles and repeat something over and over again. We could tell you all those things, but those are all temporary. They are all temporary fixes. The only real fix or the golden key to connection is awareness, is the observation of oneself. Where did we say that you had to change something, deny something, regret something? We have said none of that. We have said you need to surrender to everything. You need to accept everything. You need to allow yourself the freedom to feel and love yourself in that freedom, and you will be filled with your source energy. You will become a match to it just by you opening yourself to it in the love of yourself, you see. You can do the little practices and the things that effort. You can get some progress, but it is often not lasting, and it becomes very dissatisfying because a human will slide backwards. They will begin to do things the old way, and then they will penalize themselves. They will start to condemn, they will start to judge, and they will move back into the same old stinking energy that they've been trying to get out of. When are you going to realize that as a human, your job is to feel your experience? And once you've done that, you're done. The universal part of you, that grander part of you, if you will, is the one with all the power. It has the network, the grid, the things that it can cultivate, the experiences, the circumstances, the people, all of the things that are going to come to you are being provided to you from that divinity aspect. Based upon what you've felt. When you move to thinking that you are the one doing the creation, you have moved way out of what a human is capable of, you see.
Yeah, so we are essentially a filtration system, right? The divine has all this goodness for us, if I understand you correctly, and we are either an
Absolutely.
open channel and receiving, or we're a filtration system from childhood experiences, whatever traumas, beliefs, etc., that actually blocks and sabotages the good that can come our way.
Absolutely. It is why we have chosen Robin as a channel because of her vast experience with Kundalini energy and her understanding of the changes and the benefit of releasing that energy. And as she said, what you are actually doing is you are flinging the doors open to the subconscious. That energy has one goal in mind, and that's to clean you out. The divinity force energy that you are trying to invite into your body needs space. It needs to be able to flow through you. Information is coming through those conduits, through those energy centers. And if they are laden with a lot of emotion or unconscious thoughts and feelings that you are not aware of, the spin of them will slow down and they will become very sluggish, very slow, and they will not draw in as much divine light force energy. When they are spinning, there is a vibrancy to the human. There is a passion. There is health. There is wellness. There is excitement, because that is all coming from that connection or that divinity part of yourself. When you start to contain a lot of negativity, the energy centers slow down and you start to lose those things. You start to feel not excited, not passionate, not hopeful. And then the more lower tone emotions start to take you over or be more reflective in your experience. So it is important that you understand that emotion was meant to be felt and released. You are a vessel that everything is supposed to pass through. You are not what you think you are. A human is molecules, energy, is particles. Let's use that term. Yeah. But the divinity part of you is that will, that desire. All of the things that are actually really creative in your experience are coming from the divinity part of you. You see?
I do see, absolutely. Earlier, Robin was talking about light language as a precursor to telepathy here on this planet. And I want to go into that a little bit. I find that subject very, very interesting. So, where are we headed as humans? Will we not have any language? Will our language then become the language of light? And how will we understand each other?
Well, obviously, you're not going to forget the language that you're speaking or your native tongue, yeah? But there will be opportunity. You will probably like this, yeah? For galactic communication, it might surprise you that a long time ago, I'm not going to give you the exact number of time, but a long time ago, there was the ability to communicate galactically, telepathically. That was something that was in place or possible. Yeah. And so this is what is actually going to start happening. We're going to have more and more opportunity to be more connective galactically, and actually have the opportunity to apply light language even in some of our relationships, if we so choose to do it that way, for more clarity and better understanding.
Beautiful. There's a woman who does work with autistic people. And I love her work because it's something I heard at least a decade ago, and it was very profound. I had heard over a decade ago that people with autism, people who are bipolar, etc., are actually not disabled as they're often labeled in our society, but rather they are brilliant. And that their function is through telepathy. So, anyway, this woman has come along and it talking about this at length and using science to prove this. And it's very moving to me. And I'd love you to go into that a little bit about folks who are autistic, bipolar, etc. If it is just that they respond to humanity and being in this 3D suit incredibly differently, and also their way of communication and receiving and allowing is very different.
Yeah, they actually are of higher frequency. And that might be surprising to people who are your normal humans or the regular communicators upon Earth might find it quite surprising that someone with those afflictions could actually be having a higher level of consciousness or frequency that's coming into their body. And it makes it very foreign to them or very difficult for them to actually express in a way that is acceptable or humans can acknowledge as being normal. Do you see?
I do. I do. And I believe this so strongly, and I wish the rest of society could understand this so that they could be treated and interacted with in a way that works for them rather than for us. Because if I understand correctly, and I actually don't have anyone in my life who is autistic or bipolar, et cetera. So it's interesting that I'm so passionate about it, but I do feel passionate that they be treated in a way that serves them.
This is a topic that is familiar or constant, let's use that, with humans looking at something that they do not prefer rather than what they do prefer. So it is to recognize what it is that you are really preferring to see and have no opinion on what you don't want to see, if that makes sense to you. Because as a human, perceives things that they do not like, they're actually adding to the energy of the thing that they do not like. So rather, when you look at autistic people, look forward to society waking up, rising in consciousness, receiving them at a higher level, rather than looking down at perhaps those that are not doing it and then expanding that type of energy in them. Do you understand what you're saying?
I 100% understand, and I really appreciate this conversation. I feel like it's so important. Really do, and I hope folks out there
It's
are
very
listening.
important because it can be tricky because there's a word, we're not calling you this, don't take it that way, but there's a word called righteousness. And some people think righteousness is right or that it feels good, but it doesn't feel good. When one thinks that they know something that someone else doesn't, or they want to apply their judgment or their condemnation of someone, how is that getting the title of righteousness or something that would be right? Obviously, when one is feeling righteous, when one is judging, when one is condemning, when one is hollering at someone that perhaps is racist, they are actually racist themselves because they are against the person that is a way that they do not like. How is that any different, you see?
Ooh, okay. That was pretty good. That was deep.
We get what you want out of the world by becoming it. You get what you want to see in the world by displaying it. You do not get what you want in the world by condemning those that are not doing what you prefer them to do. You look at them and you say, I'm grateful for having seen you because now I know what it is I prefer because of your behavior. But we in no way should hold any judgment, any condemnation, or any negativity towards the way that they are behaving, or we will expand that same feeling in the world.
So beautiful. May I ask you to give us a transmission or an activation at this time? I have to say, I'm actually already receiving a tremendous amount of energy from you and through
Yes.
you. So that's gorgeous. But I would love for everyone, the audience, to also receive something.
We want to use this opportunity that we are having to send you some love, to send you the frequency of love, of acceptance, of gratitude. There's no one standing in judgment of you. There's no one that thinks that the way that you have lived is condemnable. We don't care what you've done. Every one of you is a fractal of God. Every one of you have come from that powerful source. The only thing that makes you different are the things that you experience in life. That's what causes a human to hang on, judge, condemn themselves. Some of you say, certainly that person isn't worthy of being loved. Perhaps they have done something despicable or horrible to someone else. They have become lost. They have become separated. They have lost that connection to themselves and therefore are operating from a very wounded and lower tone emotional system within themselves. It is our desire for you to be compassionate, for you to notice when someone has slipped and fallen, for you to notice when someone is out of connection or lost their own signal. Just by seeing them, just by recognizing them in a way that they are not able to see or recognize themselves, can reconnect them. You all have that power. You all have that love. You all have that ability to send that signal that will wipe out anything that they are holding in a lower tone. We give you this transmission with a re-remembering of the love that you are. And we want you to apply it everywhere, you see. Good day.
Yes, received. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to ask you beautiful beings a question about yourselves. In Greek mythology, the owl is the sacred animal of the goddess Athena, which represents her wisdom, her intellect, her insight, but it's also associated with Athena's ability to see beyond the surface, to discern the truth because of the owl's exceptional night vision. So, if the owl is a symbol of Athena's power and her role as a protector and a provider of knowledge, do you beings who are being channeled right now and who call themselves Athena or Athena in truth, do you relate to owl's medicine and as the symbol?
Absolutely. If you were to ask Robin the question when she was in her early stages of channeling, we showered her with owls. Yeah. She has a small porch on the front of her house. She thought a person had run through her porch. She ran to the door and opened it as a full-sized, enormous owl had actually flown right through her porch. These were all signs or signals that we were sending. There was another day that she came home, and there was six owls in her driveway. Yeah, sitting all over the place playing. Yeah, there's been owls that have sat on mailboxes to houses that she was going to for parties. We have displayed owls immensely and encouraged them in the form of medicine, as you say. We have the ability to influence that animal or that energy, and we have used it a lot on Robin for believability.
How powerful. Oh, that is super cool. Yay, Robin and owls. And owls are often associated with a way that extraterrestrials guise themselves. If they know that it's too much for a human to intake their true form, they'll come in the form of an owl.
Yeah. In regard to extraterrestrials, and we know that it is a topic that you are interested in. Yeah. What we would say on that topic is that most, if not all humans, have been both and are both. Yeah. And so your consciousness is expressing in many different galactic starseed systems and other planes of existence without you having any knowledge of it. Yeah. And also, there's no separation in the universe. The Earth and all of the other planets are all considered to be one thing or contained in one thing that is ever expanding, by the way, bigger and bigger and bigger, based upon the emotional thoughts and feelings and energy that humans are putting into their life and other beings are putting into their planets where they are living. Yeah. And so it is to get that understanding that, some people think that we're going to leave here and go up there, and that you will never have another problem again, or that somehow life will be completely 100% blissful. But we would tell you that there are many planetary places where contrast exists, where there are still levels of consciousness who war, who have disagreement, who are not necessarily content in their experience all the time. And then, of course, there are higher level consciousnesses that do depict some of the ways that you describe your heaven or the way that you would prefer life to be. Let's use that. But we want to make you aware of this vast universe that you are a part of, and that there are many different dimensional aspects to it.
Yes, absolutely. May I ask you a few questions about sort of that relation? I don't know. There's so much that fascinates me.
such as
You can
Noah's Ark.
try. Uh-huh.
All right, we'll see where this goes. Noah's Ark, right? Very biblical reference, often thought of as mythological. But was it a big ship, or was it actually an advanced spacecraft?
We would tell you that it was actually a big ship. It was not a spacecraft. Yeah, it was more of an intentional or a human being guided by a higher aspect of itself or himself to construct that. So it was divinely purposed, but it was not coming from any spacecraft. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. And what about the Earth's poles? Are those actually shifting? I know that they've shifted over our history on Earth, and when it shifts, that there are changes. So, yeah, if you don't mind saying, are they shifting? And if so, what kind of changes can we
Yeah,
expect?
you can expect continuous shifts, and yes, they have shifted in the past, and you can't expect that it will happen again. We don't see this to be a detriment or something to fear or to be afraid of. There have been many periods in history where there have been melting of the ice and changes climately, and any a geologist would tell you in looking at what is underneath the surface that they actually have scientific proof of that. So there will always be changes. There will always be things that are evolving and changing. It's not necessarily a negative.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great news. And what about inside of our oceans? Are there ancient sites and cities at the bottom of the ocean? I keep hearing to go a little further, not just ancient sites and cities at the bottom of the ocean, but also other dimensional extraterrestrial beings, species who exist down there as well.
Yeah, there is nothing that we are going to go into great detail, but there are civilizations that can survive beneath the surface without any problem at all. Yeah.
Amazing. That's so amazing. I hope we might get to know that in our lifetime, but I also understand it may not be ours to know. This may be exactly the way it's supposed to be, that they're existing the way they want to exist, and we're existing the way we're supposed to exist, and we can coexist without really knowing much about each other. And I assume that means that us knowing less about them than them knowing about us, right? It's really interesting to me, sort of the
Well,
veils and stuff.
right. And so what our advice to you would be, because you do have a great interest in this topic, it is something you should continue to ask about. It is something you should continue to wonder about. It is something that you should continue to love on or like or follow or read about. Because one of the things with Robin is she's not a big interester in let's say space or extraterrestrial. It's never been something that she was passionate about or that she spent a lot of time focused on. That's what actually creates the channel or the flow of consciousness in coming to you see. And so, even it might be interesting for people that are channels that the more information that you want to receive, you must become interested in it. You must become an attractor of that information in order to transmit that. Yeah.
Right on, yeah. And my last question along these lines is regarding Nikola Tesla, the great inventor. And he was a very fascinating man in the sense that he would go into these trances. And I mean, I liken it sometimes to a shamanic trance, like a near-death experience and a rebirth, and then coming back with extraordinary information. Who was helping him with his inventions while on the other side, if you will?
Well, there are innumerable aspects of yourself that are expressing at higher levels of consciousness. So much of what he was receiving was actually coming through him, to him, from him. Yeah. So that it is possible to receive it also from other dimensions and other places. And we are not really willing, let's just use that, to state exactly where it came from. But it is possible for a human to move to more of an awake and altered state. Robin actually experiences it, let's say, in yoga, where she will lose all awareness of everyone that is in the room, except for she can seem to manage to hear the instruction, but her consciousness is quite elevated or has left the room. So she's lost the ability to track time, or the class is over and she doesn't realize she's even done it, you see. And so, human, when they become aware that they are able to do this, that they're actually able to, and it's good that Robin mentioned in the beginning when you were talking about some people will drive in the car and they will actually get home, but they won't remember driving. This is an altered state. This is something that a human is not even paying attention to. Their subconscious mind has recorded the route home, and it is automatically driving them without any intention or any conscious focus in it. So once a human starts to recognize when they move into a little bit of an unconscious state, they could actually start to pose some question or apply themselves in a direction that they want information on and make themselves a vessel to receive it. They would be able to actually do what Tesla did.
Yeah, I've heard it said in another way. It sounds like much like what you're alluding to, in that I once heard a man say that he had never been a photographer and he made a decision to become a photographer. And so he opened himself to the greatest photographers of all time. And he went out to the beach with his camera and he took all sorts of pictures. And in a week, he was showing in a gallery. And then fast forward, he decided he'd never been a singer. He wanted to be a singer. And he literally, again, opened himself up to the energies of all the greatest singers of all times. And I heard this man sing, and it was amazing. It was so inspiring to me.
Well, there are streams of consciousness of which you can participate in through your desire, and it comes through belief. It comes through being able to perceive them. Unfortunately, a human sometimes will only perceive something that they work at or they effort at. And so, for example, if we were to use a tennis player, if they went to a lot of lessons and they worked very hard and they practiced their footwork and they watched video, all of this would seem as though this is what is causing them to be the great player that they are. But what they are actually doing is believing their belief. They are building their believability in themselves. They are perceiving themselves as working towards a higher level, and therefore find themselves falling into the stream of where all of the great players are, you see. And that's exactly really what you were describing. But it doesn't necessarily have to come through struggle or strife. It can come through your perception and believability that it is possible that I can actually access levels of perception and consciousness through my belief, through my ability to connect into it by aligning to it. Do you understand what you're saying?
I 1,000% understand what you're saying, and I'm thinking of an example as you're saying that. So I'm in a band called Lions of Lyra. I sing. My partner plays guitar. I hope he lovingly forgives me for like calling him out in advance. But I will say to him, it's very important to practice, 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 practice in order for him to perform well. It's not like that for me. I'm okay to pick up singing a few weeks before a gig. Maybe I'll vocalize. I'm a little more loosey-goosey with it, but it works for me. And sometimes I do try to show him that point of view, like it doesn't have to be so hard. You can actually get there if you'll just open yourself up. He's already a great guitar player. Just let that happen.
You have the ability to tap into like energy or what it is that you are wanting to feel in the way that it would make you feel. You have that ability. It is how you attract the relationships that you are in, the friendships that you have, the relatives or even friendships, as we said, would be a likeness. They would be something that would be matching you in the way that you would like to feel your experience. And it can be sometimes unconscious. It could be something that you don't like the feel of, or it could be something that you are very consciously wanting in your experience. Either way, you would attract it to you.
Yeah. Well, Athena, in truth, this has been such an amazing conversation full of wisdom, very uplifting, very loving, and I'm incredibly grateful to you for all of this. Is there anything you want to say to us here at the end?
We would like you to enjoy your lives. We would like you to feel everything. Stop judging, stop condemning, stop regretting, stop thinking you need a do-over, stop trying to suck things back in that perhaps you thought that were bad or that you should not have done. Everything that you are feeling is being responded to in the moment that you feel it. It is futile to go that direction. It will only cause separation because the universe loves you. It does not condemn you. It does not judge you. It understands you completely in the life that you are living. And we would like you to understand that you can get constant connection just by the love of yourself, just by becoming a match to unconditional love. There's no prerequisite. There's nothing you need to fix. There's nothing broken. There's a perfect place, a perfect plan in place. Feel your experience. That's all you have to do. But do it in awakeness.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah, Robin, Mamma Mia. That was
Thank
really fulfilling for me. So fulfilling for me. I
you.
mean, energetically, I'm a little bit like this, I'll be honest. And just my heart is super full. I want to ask you, where can folks find you? Where can they work with you? Give us some links and some
Yeah.
information.
Okay. Well, I have the athenaintruth.com website. That's where you can schedule one-on-one activations or group activations that we take 20 or 25 people at a time. I also do individual one-hour private sessions on there. I have a lot of downloaded courses that are pre-recorded that are instructive about what to expect in a Kundalini awakening. There's some meditations on there. I have another website called Athena Universe. This is more of a interactive written and recorded version. Verbally, website. It also has an Ask Athena option where if someone doesn't want to wait for a session and they just have a life experience that's really a problem for them, they can actually use that to email in a question and get a response within 24 hours of sending that in. So that kind of sums up just about everything. I'm moving into doing more mentorship after the activations because I'm finding people that activate their Kundalini need more information and guidance sometimes, depending on what they're going through in that process. And that's going to be up on the website soon. That's going to be something that we also do monthly, where there'll be a couple hours of channeling where people that have had an activation, or even if they've done it somewhere else, they can come on there and ask questions and resolve some of the issues that they might be going through because of that energy.
Are you almost exclusively online, or do you speak places at events ever?
You know, I've been to Sedona. I was at a transformational retreat there where I did go in person. That's the one thing that I did live. You know, occasionally I will have groups of people in town and things like that. But primarily, I do most of my work online. I'm not opposed to going in person. Once in a while, I'll get a client that will come to my house that's maybe from the Seattle area or even on Bainbridge Island where I live. So it just kind of depends on the location of the person. But yeah, I just don't know if that's in my future or not. We'll see.
Okay, we'll see. So, dear Robin, this is Dare to Dream. What are you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Oh, well, you know, I love being a grandmother. It's been the greatest joy of my life. And so, any free time that I have, that's the direction that I like to go. I have a little 3-year-old that says, "Get in here, Grandma, and give me the good stuff." The good stuff is all the kisses and hugs and wrapped around me. Like a, you know, it's really hard not to be in a connective state when you have that in your life because I'm so grateful to have it. And I see them on a regular basis. You know, I'm just always looking forward to what's coming next with my work. It seems like as soon as I get a little bored, something new enters. You know, that's what happened with the light language. I feel like this is an ever expanding process that I'm in, and I'm grateful at the age that I am. You know, I'm 65 right now. I didn't think that this would be something I would be doing. And I really think that I'll work the rest of my life. I don't think that I will probably ever stop doing what I do because I love it and I know it's really a great benefit to people. I guess that's just daring to dream, all of that.
That's beautiful. So much gratitude to you, dear Robin, Athena in Truth. We love you. Hopefully, you'll come back again in the future. And, folks, again, that's athenaintruth.com to connect with Robin or these beautiful beings who come through her. And I'm going to end today's show with this quote from Shankaracharya. Of all living beings, the human birth is most difficult to obtain. Why? Because in the human state, you can ask, who am I? You can question the illusion, and you can realize the Atman, soul, the true self beyond ego. Devas can't do that. They're too busy enjoying divine pleasure. Animals can't do it. They're caught in instinct. Asuras are locked in ego and ambition. But humans? Humans sit in this rare, painful, beautiful middle ground, just conscious enough to suffer and just free enough to choose truth over illusion. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Please like,
leave a comment. We read them all and subscribe for more amazing conversations. Next week in the show, on the podcast, I'm featuring Kadrick Olson, who delves into paranormal arts training, is a shadow worker, and a Norse mystic. Thank you so much for tuning in to all of this incredible information today on Dare to Dream.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashner, your number one transformation conversation.